Live from the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's current sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a sorry receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We're talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? Happy, happy Thursday, August 10th, 2017. You are locked into WKAR's Current Sports for yet another weekday afternoon of fun. On today's Current Sports, we've got a loaded show. We will finally dive into the whole Colin Kaepernick discussion. It is certainly a hotly debated topic across many sports talk avenues, including here on Current Sports. I'm not really going to bring new dialogue that listeners here on the show have never heard before. Just going to basically reiterate what my stance has been on the whole Colin Kaepernick situation. Cap still jobless in the National Football League. At one point, it looked as though the Baltimore Ravens were going to take a shot at Cap. That didn't happen. And Spike Lee actually was a part of an organized protest at the NFL's headquarters. We'll discuss that. Also, Jim Harbaugh, in a very different poll, was actually voted the most overrated college football coach in the game. We'll discuss that. I'm really excited about today's interview, though. Becky Ridke, executive director of the Michigan Senior Olympics. The opening ceremony will take place out in Rochester tomorrow evening for the Michigan Senior Olympics. Really looking forward to seeing this event take place throughout the next few days. Becky will tell us all about the Michigan Senior Olympics. She'll talk about how you qualify to become a competitor in the Senior Olympics. And she just from historical, from a historical context, she'll definitely put in perspective how long this event has been taking place. Very cool stuff. And on the back end of the show, you guys know it's Throwback Thursday. Each and every Thursday, we love to take a look at what exactly happened on this particular date in sports history. You don't want to miss that. And Justin Verlander, how good was he last night, right? Really wish that JV could have an outing. It's tough to have an outing like he did last night every single time he gets up on the hill. But wow, what in the world got into JV last night? Very impressive game for him. We'll discuss that as well. We'll do all of that while, of course, encouraging you all to weigh in. If you have something on your sports noggin, you know that number, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. You can also go to Facebook.com/currentsports, where you can, of course, watch the live stream of the show and tweet us at WKAR_sports or at Al Martin, WKAR. Without further ado, here are your Current Sports Quick Hit Headliners. And we start with this poll from CBS Sports recently releasing a poll of the most overrated coaches in college football. I kid you not. CBS writer Dennis Dodd, along with Chip Patterson and Barrett Sally, spoke with one-fifth of the 130 active coaches leading FBS teams entering the 2017 year. Now, they asked for honest opinions on everything from NCAA rules to social issues to their peers in the profession, and some interesting answers came out. As for the top five most overrated coaches in college football, the top five included Brian Kelly of Notre Dame, Lovie Smith of Illinois, Lane Kiffin of FAU, Nick Saban of Alabama, and numero uno, that's right, you guessed it, and being voted as the most overrated coach according to his peers, receiving 13% of the vote, Jim Harbaugh of the Michigan Wolverines. At the end of the day, it seems like jealousy reared its ugly head because of how easily Harbaugh can get into and remain in the spotlight. We'll have more on that story in just a moment. Oakland University men's basketball coach Greg Campy recently opened up about a near-death experience he had last month. Campy was suffering from a severe case of sepsis last month. Sepsis is the presence of tissues of harmful bacteria and their toxins, typically through infection of a wound. Now, there are more than 1 million cases of sepsis each year, according to the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. The infection kills more than 258,000 Americans a year. It got so bad for Campy that he had a 106.7 degree temperature and a heart rate of 146 beats per minute. The staff at Crittenden Hospital began asking him if he wanted a member of the clergy by his bedside. Three surgeries later, six total infected kidney stones, which were causing poison to run through his bloodstream, were removed from his body. Campy is now healthy and will return to the sideline for the OU men's basketball program this fall. What a story. My goodness. All right, former Spartan basketball star and current Sacramento King, Zach Randolph, did something very stupid. He was charged with possession of marijuana in Los Angeles Wednesday at 11 p.m. with intention to sell, which I really don't understand. You're a multi-millionaire ball player in the NBA that you want to sell marijuana? I don't understand that. Randolph was released earlier today by posting a bail of $20,000. He just signed a deal with the Kings for 2 years, $24 million in July. After going one and done at Michigan State, Randolph went on to play professional basketball, staying the longest with the Memphis Grizzlies, who actually have plans to retire his jersey this upcoming year. Randolph also had a drunk driving incident back in 2009 in L.A. and a 2010 marijuana incident in Indianapolis. So unfortunately, this latest run-in is not new. I'll have more on Z-Bo in just a minute. Tennessee Titan All-Pro offensive tackle and former Spartan Jack Conklin now has a brand new home. The first-time father scored a $1.5 million home located on 1.38 acres. The two-story, 6,500-square-foot brick home has five bedrooms, five bathrooms, and two and a half baths. Conklin paid for the home in cash and then took out a $1.08 million loan secured by the property. Kirk Cousins and some of his Washington teammates went on a ride, a ride-along the other day. However, this ride-along was not with a police officer. Instead, it was in the car of NASCAR legend Dale Earnhardt Jr. How about that? The driver of the number 88 Chevrolet, who is also a lifelong Washington Redskins fan, gave Cousins a 120-mile-per-hour tour of Richmond Raceway in Virginia, like any other normal person would when confronted with this opportunity. Cousins could not stop quoting the famous Will Ferrell film, Talladega Nights. Cousins talked about how he was resisting every urge to imitate Ricky Bobby from the movie and rip off his fire suit and run around the track yelling, "Help me, Tom Cruise." I love that. Cousins also joked that he did want to go fast like Ricky Bobby, and that if he gets one more franchise tag, I may have to go buy some American-made sports car and get going fast. If you have not seen the footage of Cousins and Dale Earnhardt Jr., oh my goodness, it is absolutely hilarious. Very cool stuff, though. And hey, I'm not going to confirm it just yet. I've been talking with representatives of Dale Earnhardt Jr. all week. I've been trying to get Dale on the show tomorrow. We'll keep you posted if that happens, all right? If not, we'll have somebody who is racing in this weekend's race here in Michigan on Current Sports. You don't want to miss that. All right, the Carolina Panthers played the Houston Texans in the first preseason game of the year last night, a game that saw the Panthers beat the Texans 27-17, but who cares about the outcome, right? Also saw some Mid-Michigan talent take the field. Taylor Moten, the former Western Michigan Bronco and Okemos Chief, got some reps at left tackle, protecting the blind side of Panthers backup QB Derek Anderson. I remember covering Taylor Moten back at Okemos High, and crazy now that he is in the NFL. Moten was drafted in the second round of last year's draft, 64th overall. He was also strong in the run blocking department, helping fellow rookie Christian McCaffrey run for 33 yards on 7 carries. Justin Verlander, despite all of the trade rumors surrounding the Detroit ace, the career Tiger threw a gem yesterday against the Pittsburgh Pirates. The post-All-Star break for JV has been a good one, and he proved it again last night. Verlander threw 8 scoreless innings, piling up 6 Ks and only allowing 1 hit. Verlander lost a no-hit bid with 2 outs in the top of the 6th with a double from Josh Bell just out of reach of Nick Castellanos' glove. The Tigers ended up winning, though, 10-0 yesterday in a blowout at Comerica Park. More on JV later on this hour. And the PGA Championship got underway today from Charlotte, North Carolina. Jim Herman currently leads the field at 4-under through 15. Gary Woodland and Grayson Murray sit tied for 2nd at 3-under through 14 and 17 holes, respectively. Everyone's favorite golfer, John Daly, sits at 1-under through 15. Daly is tied at 1-under with Brooks Koepka, as well as Dustin Johnson. Open Championship winner Jordan Spieth is off to a rough start in round 1 as he sits at plus 3 through 15. But hey, it's only day 1, right? Some more of the recognizable names that have yet to tee off in this one are lefty Phil Mickelson, who is set to tee off in not too far from now, 1:25 p.m., followed by Rory McIlroy and Ricky Fowler, both teeing off at 1:35 p.m. We'll keep you updated on the PGA Championship throughout this hour. Those are your current sports quick hit headliners. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527 is the number to call. Join us via Facebook.com/currentsports as well, and even tweet us at Al Martin WKAR or at WKAR underscore sports. Here we go. That is how we start this Thursday edition of WKAR's Current Sports. Thank you so much for allowing us to be a part of your weekday afternoon. Really hope you all are having a great week. It is Friday Eve. You're almost there. The weekend is almost here, ladies and gents. And we plan on brightening up your week with a great hour of sports talk right here on WKAR AM 870 94.5 FM. Also want to remind you all that, hey, I really can't believe that we are almost at our 1,000th current sports show. 1K. Can you believe that? Unbelievable stuff. On Monday, 4 days from now, Current Sports will be celebrating its 1,000th episode. And it will be a great show filled with a lot of memories, fun moments, a lot of bloopers. I know Isaac has been working his tail off behind the glass trying to dig up bloopers. Probably me. I've had countless mispronunciations. Anytime you throw soccer at me and I'm trying to announce a name from, like, you know, Germany or Russia, I butcher it all the time. So there'll be a lot of bloopers, I'm sure. There'll be a lot of special guests, a lot of interviews that we've done over the years here on the show, which enters now its fifth year, which I really can't believe we've been doing the show for 4 years now. Unbelievable stuff. But the 1,000th episode, it'll be filled with a lot of memories. And actually, we want you all to be a part of it. We've had a few of our callers, our regulars here on the show, call in and provide some pre-taped tributes, which we will roll in on Monday's Current Sports. Individuals like Mike from Saginaw. We had a Pachu as well call in yesterday. But for the rest of the week, with 2 days remaining now, we invite you to call our call-in number at 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527, from 2 to 2:30. So right after we get off the air, of course, you can still call that number if you want to just talk sports with me throughout the hour. But from 2 to 2:30, we'll be taking your calls if you would like to talk about what Current Sports has meant to you, some of your favorite memories, why you love the show, why do you tune in to listen to my voice each and every weekday to hear Isaac going around each and every weekday. What does Current Sports mean to you? We encourage you all, our dedicated listeners, to weigh in and be a part of that tribute episode on Monday. 1K. Monday's 1K is what I'm calling it. 517-355-9527. That's from 2 to 2:30 if you'd like to call in and give your own special tribute that will be played during that show. And thanks for all of your listenership. We can't do this without you all. All right, let's talk some sports. We start with the NFL. I wanted to play intermixed with that instrumental last night's outing from Deshaun Watson, the highly acclaimed Clemson quarterback who led Clemson to a national title. Well, of course, Deshaun Watson is now playing in the NFL with the Houston Texans. And I must say, Deshaun Watson was very comfortable yesterday. Again, it's preseason, and I don't know why in the world the NFL still has their teams playing 4 preseason games. It is beyond me. That is far too much. I understand, Roger Goodell, that you do accrue some moolah from those 4 preseason games that every team in the league has to play. But in my opinion, it's nickels to dimes. Because when you look at it, 4 preseason games, I mean, no one cares about the outcome. You're not seeing any of the starters out there. It's just guys trying to compete to make that 53-man roster. It's boring. It's a snooze fest for the most part. So you get, you know, the optics aren't good. It's not competitive at all. Yet you bear all of the risk of a freak injury happening to one of your stars. I just don't understand it. But that's I'll get off my soapbox when it comes to that. 4 preseason games are just way too much. But it was really cool watching Deshaun Watson last night because he's a player who has a ton of hype surrounded around him. Don't want to forget about Tom Savage, though, because, you know, right now it looks as though Tom is leading that quarterback battle out in Houston. Caught a few of his highlights as well. But, you know, the biggest thing that I look at when you evaluate a kid like Deshaun Watson coming in and making his NFL debut is how he handles the spotlight, how he handles the pressure. And for me, looking at Deshaun Watson, the dude lived up to the moment. He looked very comfortable. And on a few plays, and numbers aside, the numbers don't really matter in a preseason game, okay? But just evaluating Deshaun Watson's play last night, the dude looked comfortable. He looked on like an NFL quarterback. Fun stuff. You know, I can't believe that the NFL is almost right around the corner when it comes to, you know, the regular season beginning. Of course, the Detroit Lions will be in action later on this week as they join the Indianapolis Colts at 1:30 at Lucas Oil Stadium in Indy on Sunday. Looking forward to just seeing how this team looks right now. And also, of course, my Dallas Cowboys taking on the LA Rams on Saturday night. But the NFL is upon us. And, you know, you see these storylines like Deshaun Watson's NFL debut. Also, another storyline I saw today was Le'Veon Bell, who has still not reported for the Pittsburgh Steelers, which is absolutely beyond me. They gave him the franchise tag. So it really has a lot of his teammates, according to multiple reports, a lot of his teammates are scratching their heads saying, what are you holding out for? I mean, you can't get in shape, dude. They gave you a franchise tag. Why are you still holding out now that we are embarking on week one of preseason action in the NFL? Just don't understand it. I don't know why Le'Veon Bell is holding out. They gave him the franchise tag. There's nothing more they can do when it comes to his contract for this upcoming year. That puzzled me a bit. So you see storylines like that dominating headlines, but none more so than Colin Kaepernick. Yes, it's still the number one topic coming out of the National Football League. Have been reaching out to me saying, Al, when are you going to weigh in on cap situation? You know, many of my homies who tune in each and every weekday, who I love, are saying, Al, you got to talk about the injustice that is taking place in the NFL in regards to Colin Kaepernick. And my initial reaction was to say, well, if you tuned into Current Sports back in March, I did weigh in on this. And then my second reaction, hold on. Can we pump the brakes and look at the entire picture here? The minority, when it comes to you on the Colin Kaepernick situation. The reason why Colin Kaepernick is not employed in the NFL is, let's be real here, it's a combination of the two. He wasn't very good at quarterback last year. And his distraction exceeds his talents right now. Do I believe that Colin Kaepernick should be a backup in the NFL right now? Of course. I mean, you look at the every team in the NFL, there are many names you could bring up who play the backup quarterback position that you can make a solid argument that Cap is better than. But the distraction exceeds his talents. Yes, the protest, Colin Kaepernick deciding to take a knee during the national anthem last season, that is a problem for upper execs in the NFL. And I must be real with you folks, I can't really blame them from their point of view. Do I agree with it? Not at all. I praised Colin Kaepernick on numerous occasions for standing up and drawing attention to the inequality that African Americans have been suffering through. And this isn't breaking news, too. This has been happening for years. I mean, looking at the foundational premise of the United States of America. I mean, my goodness, minorities just have been treated unfairly for decades, right? And then you evaluate the relations that African Americans and African-American males specifically have had with law enforcement here in the U.S. of A. It has not been great. Michael Brown, Philando Castile, Trayvon Martin. I mean, I could go on and on and on. And Cap, being the socially conscious black man that he is, decided to go where no man had gone before when it came to protesting here in the world of sports. Deciding to take a knee during the national anthem, a song that, of course, celebrates what America is all about. And that's what protests are all about. And I thought it was great when we had this conversation back in March, our engineer Isaac Constant saying, look, this is what protests are supposed to do. They're not supposed to be nice, right? They're supposed to rock the boat and get you to think as to why the protest is happening. Colin Kaepernick was protesting inequality. All for it. I absolutely loved it. Even though I also did criticize Colin Kaepernick for a few mixed messages in regards to what he was trying to promote, which is inequality here in America. Or I should say trying to bring attention to inequality here in America.
Fidel Castro
t-shirt. Thank you, Isaac. That confused me. I didn't know where he was going with that. Castro is, I'm not even going to explain. You guys know about Fidel Castro, okay? Didn't understand that. Then the socks depicting cops as pigs. There are many black cops who are good cops here in America as well. And to paint that generalization by rocking that kind of apparel was just, I didn't understand that either. And then what really upset me was the election. Colin Kaepernick deciding not to exercise his right as an American to vote. I did not understand that standpoint either. The most important, one of the most important responsibilities that you have as an American, if you want to affect change, is your right to vote. So many African Americans have died, shed their blood for that right, and he decided not to. I didn't agree with that either. But looking at the entire picture here, if you are an NFL exec and you look at Colin Kaepernick, an NFL exec's job is to win games, to win Super Bowls. It's not to dabble in politics. It's about winning. A coach's job is about winning. Why would you want to take on the distraction that comes with a man like Colin Kaepernick, who is a backup quarterback? If Colin Kaepernick had the talent of an Aaron Rodgers, of an Andrew Luck, of a Tom Brady, of a Cam Newton, you think that Colin Kaepernick would be jobless? If Cam Newton decided to protest like this, you think he would be jobless? No. Because Cam Newton is one of the premier quarterbacks in the National Football League. A team is going to be willing to take on the distraction that comes with a protest like that because Cam is that talented. Adrian Peterson, he got charged with child abuse, ultimately pled guilty to a crime relating to that abuse, and the Minnesota Vikings stood behind him. But the minute Adrian Peterson's talents ran out and his numbers took a dip, guess what? The Vikings kicked him to the curb. Michael Vick is another example you can bring up. The dog fighting ring serves his time. NFL execs saw that Michael Vick still had some talent in him when it came to the gridiron and decided to take a shot on him. If you got the talent, it doesn't matter. You will find a job in the National Football League. So I understand it. You know, if you're an NFL owner and you're looking at Colin Kaepernick, who isn't a premier starter in the National Football League, and you already got a starting quarterback who you feel confident in, why would you want to bring on a backup quarterback and knowing that there's going to be media parked outside of your training facility all season just wanting to tackle that story? And the protest. And then another thing with Cap, you know, if you are going to stand for protesting like this, which I loved, I absolutely loved it. But if you are going to do that, if you're going to kneel during the national anthem, and if you're going to continue to advocate for equality here in America and bring attention to the inequality as it relates to African Americans here in America, you got to be all in, dude. You can't just dip your toe in the water. You got to jump all in. And Cap coming out and saying, I think my message has been clear. I've made my point. I'm done protesting. I'm not going to kneel anymore during the national anthem. I got a problem with that. Because when he came out and said that, it made it look like that he's no longer going to kneel because he wants a job. That's what I got. That's what I heard when Cap decided to come out and say that. Why stop now? It's obviously affecting change and getting people to think, and you're going to stop now? Be all in, Cap. Be all in. And a few stories, you know, really stood out to me when having this conversation as well. You know, an NFL GM told Bleacher Report's Mike Freeman that a significant majority of league execs, quote, genuinely hate, end quote, Kaepernick for his protest last year. Going on in the story, league bosses want to use Kaepernick as an example to discourage other employees from taking similar political stands in the future. That is what this source told the Bleacher Report's Mike Freeman. The unnamed general manager went on to say, quote, they want nothing to do with him. They won't move on. They think showing no interest is a form of punishment. I think some teams also want to use Kaepernick as a cautionary tale to stop other players in the future from doing what he did. When you hear a comment like that, it is clearly wrong. Clearly wrong. If it is true, if this NFL GM, if what he is saying is true and represents the mindset of certain ignorant executives in the National Football League. But Cap, when you take a political stance like you did, you got to know what comes with the territory, dude. You had to have known this was coming. So I'm not surprised. I'm not surprised at how this situation has played out. I just would like to see Cap continue to stand up and protest and do what he's been doing. And let's be real here. You know, Colin Kaepernick has done a great job in the communities. You know, he's one of several celebrities to help crowdfund nearly $2 million to buy and send food to famine victims out in Somalia. The Black Panther Youth Camp was such an innovative, creative, and great idea. I love that. The 49ers donated $1 million to local charities that fight racial and social inequality last season, a pledge that no doubt was spearheaded by Colin Kaepernick himself. But I'm not surprised the dude does not have a job in the National Football League. Let's hear our first break. When we come back, we will shift gears dramatically and talk to Becky Ridke, Executive Director of the Michigan Senior Olympics. That and more, don't go anywhere. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. We just finished up segment A of the show discussing the Colin Kaepernick story. Much of what you just heard in my rant during that, 10-minute rant was just a rehash. I mean, my opinion has not changed. I'm not surprised that Colin Kaepernick is without a job in the National Football League. If his numbers were better, if he proved himself as a starting quarterback in the National Football League, which he hasn't done, other than that one year where he led the San Francisco 49ers to the Super Bowl, his numbers haven't been great. He has had a steady decline in the NFL. If his numbers were better, he would be playing, regardless of the protest. Okay, let's wake up and smell the coffee when it comes to that, all right? If you disagree, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. In the meantime, let's get to our guest for today's Current Sports. Her name is Becky Ridke. She is the executive director of the Michigan Senior Olympics. It is a very cool event in which the opening ceremony for the Michigan Senior Olympics will be taking place tomorrow evening. A free event. Becky is here to tell us all about it. Becky, how are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you for having me.
Oh, truly a pleasure. And, you know, when I first heard about this event, it was courtesy of actually one of our news reporters here at WKAR, Kevin Lavery. He shot me the flyer, and I'm like, oh, my goodness, I got to get Becky on the show to talk about this. So, Becky, for those that don't know what the Michigan Senior Olympics are, can you kind of give us a rundown?
Yeah, so the Michigan Senior Olympics are a nonprofit organization. We do pretty much winter and summer games each year for ages 50 and up, which compete in five-year age groups. We also do health and wellness programs and different sports events and tournaments throughout the year.
How long has this been taking place, Biggie?
This is actually going to be our 38th annual Summer Games. They started back in 1979 at the Pontiac Silverdome, actually.
Wow. Incredible stuff. Now, I know the opening ceremony, Becky, will be taking place tomorrow evening. It's a free event, I know, open to the community. What takes place in the opening ceremony? Does it mimic, it's hard to mimic what happens at the big Olympics, right, out in Rio or Tokyo somewhere, right? But what happens? What do you guys have planned?
Yeah, so really it's just a free event open to the community. We want to just let everybody know about the Michigan Senior Olympics and kind of just have it be a fun, family-friendly event. It's going to be taking place from 6 to 8 p.m. out at Bloomer Park in Rochester Hills. But yeah, it's a free event. We'll have free food, including pulled pork sliders from Detroit Barbecue Company, gourmet food from the Friendly Fork food truck, and we'll also have a bunch of hot dogs, free Kona ice. We'll have different giveaways, tons of vendor tables. Music will be from the Midwest Dueling Pianos. We'll do our official torch lighting ceremony. And then we also we want parents and grandparents to be able to bring their children out to the park as well. So we've got bounce houses, inflatables, kids games, mascots, face painters, balloon artists. There's just so much going on out there.
Oh, that is very cool stuff, Becky. What time will this be?
Yep, it starts at 6 o'clock.
6 o'clock. You know, and looking at the flyer, I mean, you all have over 800 participants competing from all over the state of Michigan. You look at the track and field competitions, which will kick off on Saturday. Over 200 athletes, ages 50-plus, signed up, including a 102-year-old who will be doing the 50-meter and 100-meter dash, discus, javelin, hammer throw, and also shot put. I mean, that's really jaw-dropping stuff, Becky. How does the process work when it comes to athletes who are 50, you know, years old and above trying to qualify to compete in this?
Yeah, well, actually, anybody ages 50 and up are welcome to participate in the Michigan Senior Olympics. They don't have to actually qualify to do the Michigan Games.
Mm-hmm.
But during a qualifying year, they would have the opportunity to go and move on to the National Senior Games. So this year is actually a non-qualifier, so it's more just for fun, just to keep the athletes, you know, active and healthy. Next year, though, that'll be our qualifier for the 2019 Nationals, which will take place in Albuquerque.
Wow.
So, yeah.
And Becky, can you tell us more about the 102-year-old? Is that individual the oldest participant in this year's games?
He is, yes, and he is amazing, let me tell you. He actually, he exercises every single day. He does 100 push-ups a day and does cardio as well every day. And he told me that even if it's raining outside, he'll run back and forth through his house to get his exercise in. I mean, he's just the coolest guy.
Oh, that is absolutely fantastic. So we have to work on getting him on Current Sports. I would love to pick his brain about a few things, especially when it comes to his health. Becky, what are you guys doing that's a bit different this year to try and just add some new flavor to it? Are you guys tweaking anything?
You know, the events pretty much are the same from what we've had each year. We do have some, like our powerlifting event this year. We have the USA Powerlifting organization. They're coming in to help us run the event, and that's really going to be a great one for people to come and watch as well. That one's on Monday out at CrossFit Deviate in Rochester. But we did add a free throw and three-point contest this year, which is pretty exciting. And then our opening ceremony, we just keep adding to it each year as well to try to get more people to come on out.
Very cool stuff. Again, we are chatting with Becky Ridke, who is the executive director of the Michigan Senior Olympics. And Becky, how did you get involved with the Michigan Senior Olympics?
Yeah, you know, I've worked with seniors now for about the last 10 years, and I don't know, it's just my passion. I got a degree in sport and recreation management from Lake Superior State University, and it just kind of led me on this path, and I couldn't imagine doing anything else. It's the best job ever.
And this has to also serve as a way for seniors to, you know, just to get out the house, to do something, to get them active is great. And also, there's got to be a lot of camaraderie that forms throughout these, you know, next few days when it comes to the seniors here in the state of Michigan.
Oh, most definitely. Yeah, a lot of people see their friends, you know, every single year coming back. There'll be some groups that'll have matching T-shirts, and everybody's so welcoming and supportive. And we do have those athletes that'll train year-round for the games, maybe if they're doing the triathlon or our cycling or swimming events. But then we also do have those people that just want to participate just for the fun of it. They don't care if they win a gold medal. They're just there to maybe beat their time from the last, you know, the previous year, just try to go for their own personal best and just be around like-minded individuals. So it really is wonderful to see.
Definitely, without a doubt. Becky, what's your favorite competition?
Oh, that's a tough one. Yeah. I would say the pickleball competition.
The pickleball? What is that?
Pickleball. Yep, so pickleball is actually one of the fastest growing sports in the country. It was even actually featured on CBS Sports this year for their big U.S. Open that they have. But it's kind of like tennis and table tennis combined. It's played on a smaller court, and the ball is kind of like a wiffle ball in a way. So it's almost like a slowed-down version of tennis. And it's really popular amongst the senior age groups, but it's also starting to grow in popularity with youth as well. So it's a big up-and-coming sport.
I just have to Google it here, and okay, I see what you're saying. I mean, Isaac, we may have to go in the backyard one day and get our pickleball on. How does that sound?
Let's do it.
That sounds very cool. All right, Becky, before we get you out of here, I know that every year that you've been a part of this, there has to be some incredible athletes and incredible personalities that, you know, you grow fond of. Can you tell us a bit about, other than, of course, the 102-year-old who will be competing in track and field, can you tell us about some of the more intriguing stories and individuals that you have come across and that will possibly be competing in 2017?
Oh, definitely. Yeah, we have so many athletes with so many amazing stories. One that always stands out to me is we have a mother and daughter. The mother is in the 90 to 94 age group, and her daughter recently turned 50. And so the daughter was so excited to finally be 50 years old so that she could compete alongside her mom. So the two of them are actually doing bocce ball and shuffleboard together as doubles partners. And it's really cool to see. And they have her brother also participates. And then when they go to nationals, they have family from other states that meet them there. And it's a really cool thing to be able to see the whole family get involved. And they're just such awesome people. So that's one that really stands out.
Oh, for sure. And I also see here that the celebration of athletes dinner, that will take place 7 days from now on August 17th at 6 p.m. And that will feature guest speaker Gary Morgan, 1988 USA Olympian race walker. He competed in over 100 marathons and actually climbed Mount Kilimanjaro. Oh, my goodness. How did you guys snag Gary?
Yeah, good question. Yeah, he has done so much. We're so excited to have Gary as our speaker this year, especially with all of the things that he's accomplished. So, yeah, we're really looking forward to hearing him speak.
Oh, that's very cool stuff. All right, Becky, remind our listeners out there how, again, they can be a part of the opening ceremony and possibly even compete. Is that still open? Can they just show up and compete?
A couple of our events are still open. Disc golf and billiards, we're still able to take registrations for. But if they are interested, they can get on the Michigan Senior Olympics website. It's just MichiganSeniorOlympics.org. And get on our mailing list. That way we can send them out information for next year. We also do winter events as well. We have ice hockey for both men and women, and a whole bunch of other winter sports. So hopefully we'll be hearing from some of you, and we'll get you started.
Without a doubt. And Becky, for the winter sports, when does that begin?
It'll be in February.
That will take place in February. So there's still some time for some of our listeners out there to get to training, to hit Planet Fitness, you know, work out, hit that treadmill, and be ready for February, right?
That's right.
All right, Becky, thank you so much for your time. Really appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right, Becky Ridke, Executive Director of the Michigan Senior Olympics. I may have to hit up my uncle. I think my Uncle Eddie, who we call Uncle Snoochie in the family. I think he would love competing in this. I'm just wondering how he would stack up, because he's one of those guys, back in the day, Al.
Oh, so he's a talker.
Oh, my goodness. Back in the day, boy, I would walk around the block, and I was the man at basketball. I would, you know, they called me Pickpocket Snoochie, and not for the other reason. I could just steal the ball from anybody. He says that he was this world-class athlete.
I may have to hit him up to participate in the Michigan Senior Olympics, all right?
Well, and that's the one downside of this event is that I plan to tell my kids how good of a time I had sitting on the bench of the NBA Finals watching the Warriors win two straight years or whatever it will be once they win next year as well. And hopefully they'll just forget about it, never Google it, anything. But with this, I might actually have to back my talk up.
Yeah, I know, right? Yeah, hey, when you turn 50, you may have to. We may have to compete in this. All right,
that exactly.
Sounds great. That sounds great. Well, much thanks to Becky Ridke, executive director of the Michigan Senior Olympics. Again, the opening ceremony tomorrow evening, August 11th, a free event open to the community. It's going to be really, really fun stuff. All right, so get out there, and I may even get out there. And I think there's a few stories that we could possibly do here on Current Sports. All right, let's start our final break. When we come back, we will chat about Jim Harbaugh being voted the most overrated college football coach. We'll also go back in time with a segment we dub Throwback Thursday. That and more. We'll be right back. It's a Bobby Brown Thursday, huh, Isaac? I dig it, man.
That it is.
One of my favorite artists of all time. Have you? No, you haven't. I don't even know why I asked. The New Edition story, you haven't watched that, no.
No, I haven't. You know I'm behind on every single TV show, movie, whatever it might be.
You got to check it out, man. New Edition story, it was one of my favorite biopics ever. It was that good. Really, really good stuff. Really cool stuff at the BET Awards this year. They gave a tribute to New Edition, and they actually had the cast who depicted Bobby, Ricky, all of those guys in the movie. They had them do the tribute as the old head sat in the crowd and kind of just took it all in. Very cool stuff. So if you haven't seen that performance, you would love it, dude. Great stuff. All right, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Before I move forward here, his dad's going to kill me for doing this, but Brad Walker, one of our dear friends here on Current Sports, as well as a guy who's been with WKAR for quite some time and done a great job across numerous platforms. Brad Walker, it is his birthday today, so happy birthday to Brad Walker, one of my favorite coworkers here at WKAR, and he also has his son, Ryan, was actually job shadowing us. He's behind the glass with you, Isaac, right now. Ryan, do you want to say happy birthday to your dad live here on the air? Just say happy birthday to Pops.
Happy birthday, Pops.
There you go. I love that, man. And, you know, Ryan, he's a great baseball player here in the area for Eden Rapids. And Ryan, if the baseball thing doesn't pan out, he wants to become a sports broadcaster. Why in the world would he do that? I have no idea. We don't get paid like that, do we, Isaac?
Not at all. Miserable life, long hours, all of that. But Ryan, unbeknownst to you, actually helped out this morning with the quick hit headliners,
what?
Too. Did a
get
great job. Typed up the Zach Randolph one for you, as well as Justin Verlander.
Thank you, Ryan. Look at that. He's already working for us.
You know we're public radio, Al. We put people to work when we can.
Bam. There we go, right? And speaking of Zeebo, I just don't understand this story. You know, I really don't understand how a dude who has just signed a multi-million dollar contract decides to sell marijuana. I don't understand that. He signed with the Kings for 2 years, $24 million, and Zeebo was charged with possession of marijuana in L.A. with intent to sell. I don't get that. I don't understand how some of these athletes, what goes on in their minds. And we're talking about Zach Randolph. This is a dude who's been in the league for quite some time now. He was one and done here at Michigan State, has had quite the career. His number is actually going to be retired by the Memphis Grizzlies. But if you're making that kind of money, why in the world are you selling marijuana? What? I mean, he gets dummy of the day today. All
he
right?
sure
I'm
does.
Sorry. That makes absolutely no sense. Before we chat briefly, really briefly about Jim Harbaugh. Isaac, did you want to comment at all on the whole Colin Kaepernick situation?
Well, you recap my thoughts exactly. It's unfortunate when we have a day that we agree on, because I think our listeners enjoy the disputes, but you were exactly right on all of that. The thing is, this is a good guy who's made many mistakes, but unfortunately. Tim Tebow is a good guy who led his team to a better record, a playoff game. He's not in the NFL. He's playing minor league baseball right now because guess what? You don't want cameras in a locker room surrounding a quarterback who's your number two or three. Tim Tebow is not the caliber of a starting quarterback. Colin Kaepernick is not the quality of a starting quarterback. Last year, I know people bring up Kaepernick's stats because they weren't that bad. He threw for something like 16 touchdowns and 4 interceptions, which is a pretty good ratio. I'll give him that. The thing is, they went 1-10 with him at quarterback. 1-10. Come on now. And everybody who's trying to say that he deserves to stick around is saying, oh, he made a Super Bowl. But here's the thing. Whether you think he deserves to be in the league right now or not, you can look forward. And at the end of the day, it's not a bad thing that Colin Kaepernick isn't in the league. Because if he goes back, he gets a backup quarterback job, he stands for the national anthem. Guess what his meaning is? Nil. Nothing. Right. He doesn't matter whatsoever because suddenly one NFL team did sign him. So I guess the whole league's not racist or anything like that anymore. Suddenly he is on a quarterback. So I guess everybody seems to respect him as a football player again. That's fine. Whereas if he's blacklisted from the NFL, he actually makes a stand. This is the stand right now. This is the new kneeling for the national anthem. The fact that this guy is not in the NFL because he took a stand. Now, like I said, I don't think he's not in the NFL because he chose to kneel. I think he's not in the NFL because he would be a distraction. And if I was a GM, much like you, Al, I think we've had this conversation, I would not sign him. I don't think he would be good for a locker room, especially in a league like the NFL, when there's a lot of division politically in locker rooms. That's already established.
And as an an NFL exec, I mean, you're not a politician. You're not in the politics game. You're in the business of winning. And if you, you know, decide to sign Colin Kaepernick, you understand that there's a lot of baggage that comes with that. There's a lot of distraction that comes with that. You don't want anything to happen to your franchise that would deviate from the overall mindset of winning football games. And that is a sign that could happen if you decide to sign Colin Kaepernick.
And the thing is, there are a lot of African Americans who miss out on job opportunities because of perceptions about their race, anything like that. This guy missing out on the NFL and a few million dollars is not the one that should be targeted. It should be more emblematic of the problem as a whole. And then keep going, extend it further. But he'll have speaking careers that will be a lot more powerful, as I said, than a man who was once discriminated against possibly because he chose to kneel for a national anthem, who now sits on a bench and plays backup quarterback. It's better if he's a public speaker. There he can make a difference.
Yeah, and you know, I even, you know, to deviate from your comparison to Tim Tebow, I even go bring up a guy who played in the NBA by the name of Craig Hodges. I don't know if you've read Craig Hodges' new book, but those that don't know about Craig Hodges, he was one of the he was a guard on the Chicago Bulls 1990s dynasty teams along with Michael Jordan. And that is why when I look at athletes, you know, like a Colin Kaepernick, like a LeBron James, Carmelo, Chris Paul, Chris Bosh, we all know when they stood up on the ESPY stage and voiced their opinion on inequality here in America, right? Guys like Muhammad Ali, Jim Brown, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, an athlete athletes of that stature willing to speak out against what they feel is wrong here in America, I praise them 1,000% because there are a lot of athletes out there who are afraid to rock the boat, who are afraid of making themselves, you know, putting themselves in a box and afraid of taking on that responsibility of having other people disagree with them and may not like them as athletes anymore. Some of those athletes, you know, one of the biggest names I bring up is who I believe is the greatest basketball player of all time, and Michael Jordan. Michael, you know, it's an interesting snippet in Craig Hodges' book, Isaac, in which, you know, Hodges, who was always boisterous, you know, in letting his opinion known about injustice here in America. Actually, in June of 1991, before the first game of the NBA Finals between the Bulls and the LA Lakers, Craig Hodges tried to convince Michael Jordan and Irvin Magic Johnson that both teams should stage a boycott. Rodney King, an African-American who had been brutally beaten by four white policemen in LA, that's been well documented, 3 months earlier to that game, As he writes in his new book, Long Shot, The Triumphs of Struggles of an NBA Freedom Fighter, Hodges told the sport's two leading players that the Bulls and Lakers should sit out the opening game. So, quote, "We would stand in solidarity with the black community while calling out racism and economic inequality in the NBA, where there were no black owners and almost no black coaches, despite the fact that 75% of the players in the league were African-American," end quote. Jordan went on to tell Hodges that he was crazy, quote, crazy, while Magic Johnson said, quote, "That's too extreme, man," end quote. Hodges replied with, "What's happening to our people in this country is extreme." Of course, Craig Hodges was nowhere near the stature of ball player that Magic Johnson and Michael Jordan were. Johnson and Jordan deciding both not to protest, deviating from what Hodges suggested. It takes a lot of courage to stand up and to do something like that. And that is why I praise the stand that Colin Kaepernick had. But much like Craig Hodges, after he left the Chicago Bulls and was looking for a job in the NBA, there were no NBA execs that wanted to sign Craig Hodges. And he became jobless. And he documents that in his book as well. That is exactly what is happening to Colin Kaepernick. But it comes with the territory. That is our show for today's Current Sports. I wanted to get to Throwback Thursday, but I thought it was important to bring up that parallel, Isaac. On tomorrow's Current Sports, we hope to have Dale Earnhardt Jr. on Current Sports.
Whew.
Huge get. We hope to have him. It's about 70% in the books right now. 70% is what I'll give you guys. So tune into tomorrow's Current Sports. Again, if you want to give a tribute as to why you love Current Sports as we approach our 1,000th show, call in right now from 2:30. Well, from now to 2:30, I should say. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Same time, same place tomorrow, folks. Have a great afternoon. And as always, be easy, people.